Well, welcome. Great to be together for Church Online together today. And a special welcome to you if you are new. And to our regulars, how good to be together. It is actually a great day as I look out the window to be rugged up inside. But I hope that you're watching church with someone. You're in someone's home. You've invited somebody in. Can I encourage you to do that? And hey, if it's just you sitting in your house right now, well, you and I can do church together, united, connected by the Spirit of God, no matter where you are. So let's jump into today's teaching. This is week 5 in our series from Identity. And I want to continue today in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look right at that passage of scripture, Colossians 3 verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So good, so good. We're going to look at that. We're going to expound, unpack that passage of scripture today. We're going to start with a few kind of punches. We're going to start tough. But I want to let you know today, the title of my message is Twice the Life. Twice the Life. And I'm going to explain that as we go through. So last week, we talked about the fact, we're talking about lies. I mean, it's not kind of a feel-good topic to talk about, but it's important because the lies we tell come from the lies we listen to, the lies that we believe about ourselves. And Christ comes not just as a truth, but actually the embodiment, the truth, to free us of lies, and therefore to free us of any need to tell lies. And so we step into that, and there are significant implications for us living in friendship, in relationship, in community, within our community, within the city, wherever you might be. So we're going to look at it today. We're going to debunk some lies. But first, the truth. It is a truth, an inescapable truth, that we have enemies. I don't know if this language is new to you and you're like, hang on a minute, what's this guy talking about? But we have an enemy in the devil, scripture says. We have an enemy in the world, the forces apart from God in the world that really belong to the enemy. And we have an enemy in sometimes ourselves, in the flesh, in our old self, as we are realizing in this series from Identity, because we have a new self. We have a new life in Christ, but they contend against one another. So we have enemies. Now, Jesus, in John 8:44, is speaking to teachers of the law, to Pharisees and the assembled Jews. And again, if you remember our series from James, there are no punches pulled as he speaks to them this profound truth, being truth himself. So John 8:44 says this, you belong to your father. You might be like, oh, that's nice. Then he continues, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Wow. I mean, strong, clear language. There is no escape from that, although we're going to find out the escape from that is through Jesus Christ and him alone. But Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. He lies to us and he turns us into liars. But today, I know we started tough. I want to declare over you the truth of the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Because let's start right here. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you do not belong to the devil anymore. Jesus is saying in John 8:44, the devil is your father. Well, in Christ, he is no longer. Don't believe that lie. People say all the times, I do bad things because sometimes the devil makes me. Nope, that lie is refuted. The devil can tempt you, not make you do anything when you belong to Jesus. And so as we look again in Colossians 3:9, that caution, don't lie to each other. What are lies do? They are actually contrary to truth and love. They are both unjust and unkind. They naturally tend to destroy all faith and friendship and relationship. Who knows that a lie starts small and it gets bigger and bigger and it destroys every wonderful thing in its path. And even more so, if we look at scripture, lying makes us like the devil, who is the father of lies. We want to be free of that. Christ has set us free of that. So we talked about the fact that the lies we believe tend to produce lies in us. So let's take a few and let's debunk them. Let's refute them even better. Let's totally throw them out the window. Lies that impact our walk with Christ are lies like this. I've got eight of them. So not a long message today, but one, I'm beyond saving. Well, no one is beyond saving, but no one can save themselves. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us haven't fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a savior and no one is beyond saving. Number two, I have to earn my salvation, kind of an extension of that last one. No, you don't. And no, you can't. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is the wonderful invitation to salvation in Jesus Christ, that we can't do anything to earn it. He pulls down lies, as we sung about, and he bridges gaps, as we're continuing to talk about. He saves. We can't. We need him, and that's a whole bunch of pressure off ourselves. I think we're up to number three. Everyone say number three. I have to do everything myself. I have to do everything myself. I wonder if you just right now, you're like, I honestly feel like that. I think we all have moments you're like, I just feel like, you know that saying, like, it's hard to find good help. Well, sometimes it's just that you actually think you've got to do everything yourself. And as a Christian, it's refuted. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. As a Christian, you do not have to do everything yourself. You cannot do everything yourself, and you have the strength and life of Christ to help you. Not only that, we have others around us who will help us in the community. I think we're up to number four. I have to fight my own battles and earn God's love. So many people, because of wounds they have in their past where no one stood up for them, or there was no love there that wasn't conditional. Well, it's refuted here by Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Scripture tells us while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son while we were caught in our sin, apart from him, and showed us his power and his love. Number five, I don't have anything to offer. I mean, we all have those moments, a lot of us, unless we're kind of extreme narcissists, where it's like, I just don't feel like I have anything to offer right now. But 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, as Gail said earlier, killed that kid's talk. Words we don't understand. Manifestation, it's like, I'm going to run away from that scary word. It just means that the Spirit shows up in every believer through for whom Jesus is Lord and Savior with something given for the common good. So what am I doing right now? I'm teaching the Word of God. God has called me and strengthened me and gifted me to do that. What has he gifted you for? You might feel like you have nothing to offer, but God's Spirit that is in you through Christ's finished work on the cross has gifted you for the common good, every single one of us. Amen. I think we're up to number six. I have to earn blessings. I have to earn blessings. I have to earn things. I'm saved, but then I got to earn things. Well, Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." That's what we've been blessed with. So, number 7, and remember, this video stays up so you can go back to it. You can slow it down, take notes, watch it again. Oh, we can slow down another time. Number 7, I'm overcome by the world. Now, you might feel like I'm overwhelmed. And sometimes that happens when there's so much going on. But there's a difference between saying I'm overwhelmed and I am overcome. Overcome is defeat. Overcome is a win by the world, the devil, the flesh, the enemies that we have. And it's refuted by 1 John 4:4 that says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, over the enemies that we have, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." Whatever, whoever comes against you, you can be overwhelmed and feel that way and turn to Christ with that, but you are not and ever will be overcome because of Christ's finished work on the cross. And number 8, in an information age, this lie, I have to know or understand everything. I think even if this is one that we don't really even think about much or we don't say it much, I think we do live, and it's kind of like if someone knows something and I don't know that, then I'm lesser than them. If I don't understand everything that's going on, I'm somehow lessened. You are not. You cannot know or understand everything, but let me just give you some encouragement. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight." Immediately, you're worried about not knowing everything to be able to walk the road ahead of you. And there's a significant amount of pressure in that, but you can rest in the truth of Christ. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord and he will make your path straight. So that was the 8. I know it was quick, but you can go back. Here's the reality. When we're in Christ, we still have shortcomings in our lives. Maybe you don't, but I certainly do. And I think the truth is that we all do. And we need to just chill out a little bit and give people permission to kind of have these shortcomings in their lives because they are a work in progress in becoming more like Christ. But here's the reality. Whatever you're lacking, you find in Jesus Christ. Even more so, what it does is it takes the focus off what we lack and on the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, whatever it might be, like I lack, what do I lack? I lack gifting. I lack personality or charisma or presence or like emotional stability or intellect or I don't know, all these things. Or you're going like, look at all the things materially that I lack. This Jesus may not necessarily give you those things. What this is saying is far greater and above that. It's actually saying you won't focus on what you lack. You won't be insecure about what you lack because your identity isn't found in the gaining of any of those things, but in actually realizing that you have everything in Jesus Christ and nothing can compare. It's this invitation to this fullness of understanding of identity, which has such depth, which at the same time is so profound and yet so simple and so clear, which is I have Jesus Christ and he is enough. Imagine what it would look like to live like that just for you. Imagine what it would look like to live like that in your church family, wherever you are. Imagine what an incredible testimony to the glory of God that would be to the world around you, your school, your workplace, your friends, your city, whatever it might be. I understand this is clear and profound. It's not easy, but it's an acknowledgement in humility and surrender that, again, I am not the hero of my own story. Jesus is. We love the hero story and we love being the hero, but we are not the hero. And there's such humility in that, in us actually becoming less and Jesus becoming more in our lives and through all that we do. We're on a journey. So when we mess up, Colossians 3 was telling us to forgive. Know that God has forgiven you through Jesus Christ. And forgive one another. As He's forgiven you, we are to forgive one another. In Jesus Christ, all lines that divide have been overcome. Whatever line you can imagine, and right now it's not hard to imagine dividing lines in society around the world. Whatever line it is overcome by Christ. Christ came to take down all walls and invite us to drop all of ours, that all might stand on the same level before God. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit ministered. I didn't know what Gail was going to talk about. She said exactly the same thing. We are equal before God through Christ, both in duty and privilege, because Christ is all in all. He is our Lord and Savior. He's our hope. He's our happiness. He's our joy. He's the fulfillment, even when we don't get the things that we think that we want. All right. Let me land here. My title, Twice the Life. Do you know you have life twice? Once at creation, second to God. But that was defaced and lost by sin. And is renewed through Christ. And so our soul then becomes something like what Adam was in the day he was created. But even more, when we remember John 1, 4 to 5, talks about the Word, Logos, actually the person of Jesus. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God breathed life and light into us at creation. Sin came in and screwed up that image. And so God said, no, I love you too much to leave you this way. I'm going to send my Son, who is going to die on a cross, that we might have again the light of life by faith in Jesus Christ. And this becomes our identity. Not anything that has happened to us or that we've done before this, but we step into this place. Not any lie that's been told to us or that we live under or produces lies in us, but actually what Jesus has done is the defining factor. So let's come back to Colossians 3. Therefore, anytime Scripture says, therefore, you've got to go, hang on a minute, that means that something came before. Well, Christ was there at the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. He is the light of life, and the darkness will not overcome. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's who you are in Christ, then do this, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God gave you the gift of life, and He renews that life through Jesus Christ to make you holy and dearly loved. I don't know where you're at today, if everything is telling you something different, but if you are in Christ, then you are holy and dearly loved. And nothing can change that. No enemies we have, nothing the world does or says. You are not who people think you are, who they say you are, who social media says you are. Through Christ, you are holy and dearly loved. And there's someone I'm speaking to today who needs to step into that and believe that and surrender that all the other rubbish that has been stuck to you, Christ died to wash that away, not just cover it, but cleanse it completely. Because we have put away sin, because we have new life, we declare and share the cause of Jesus. We stand ready neither to believe nor tell lies, because we are found in the person who is truth. And be clothed instead with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience, to forgive and to be loving. I don't know what it is. Some people in it, and it could be remnants of our upbringing, find the expression of love more easy than others. And so for someone today, they're sitting there going, love. How am I supposed to be more loving? But I want to encourage you that the most profound step you could take today is to live and love more like Jesus. In what we perceive as weakness, which is to love in the face of an enemy, that's where God's strength shines through. And so it's an act of humility and trust to realize that love is the way we are called to live. As Anna, one of our youth leaders, said 2 weeks ago, she said, we don't have to strive for it because the life of Jesus Christ in us will continue this transformation, will do these things through us. And I want to land with this truth. Because of Jesus, God has downloaded his love into our hearts. It's not something that you need to or have to just manufacture, but it is there. And I encourage you to surrender to this profound truth. Romans 5:5 said this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Given to us. Poured into our hearts. This is not something that we did. And so loving like Christ is not beyond you, because you're not doing it. But you do need to surrender to it. You need to ask. And so I want to do that. You know, today, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and we'll invite you to take that step in a moment, remember, you are holy and dearly loved, invited and challenged to be clothed with compassion and kindness, and to allow God's Holy Spirit, who poured his love into our hearts, to outwork through your life, because your identity is found in Christ, who is your all in all, our all in all. And so everything else ceases to matter in the face of that profound truth, a foundation for our identity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this simple but profound truth. And right now, we just clearly say, is this profound step to live and love more like Jesus? Holy Spirit, pour the love of God into our hearts and secure us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that our identity will not be shaken to and fro any longer by anything that comes, but be grounded in Christ and him alone. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless, church. It's been great to be together. Look forward to seeing you soon.